Today on Real Life Radio.
It's not a title that is given. It's a title that is of his nature. It is of his character. Jesus didn't become Lord. Listen, everybody. Jesus didn't become Lord. He's always been Lord. But it's your decision to make him your Lord.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now, Part 3 continues in the book of Philippians chapter 2 with verses 5 through 11. This portion of Scripture not only shows how much God loves us, but it also expresses His deep desire for our salvation. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Lord over all the heavens and earth. Therefore, all of mankind will one day submit to Him, not by force, but by choice. What is the definition of lordship? Well, it's a title of authority that Jesus, quite frankly, has always held, but it's our decision whether or not we allow Him to be the Lord over our lives. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the salvation Jesus Christ has given to us is absolute when He becomes our Lord. He announced Himself to His creation as Lord not to impose His rule, but to invite us to have a relationship with Him. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Bless your word to our hearts. We ask you, God, now to possess us by the power of your Holy Spirit. You've promised us, Jesus, that the Spirit of God would speak and move wherever your word is brought to remembrance. So we will be smart today, Lord, to hide ourselves in your book. We confess today we have no strength and no wisdom of our own, but we know where to go, and that is into the everlasting arms of our great God and Savior. We come to you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Chapter 2, the same chapter we've been in for a long, long time. And we'll be in it for a long time, but it's worth it. We're now looking at a message, really part 3 of a message entitled Only God Can Save You Now. We're looking at the reasons why. Why is it that God is the only one who can save you? How is it that God saves? And what or by what agent does He save? As Christians, we love this portion of Scripture, Philippians chapter 2. And we've been studying verses 5 through 11. Today we'll advance a little bit further in verses 9 through 11. But previously we saw in verses 5 to 7 that He saves uniquely by coming down to us. We saw that in verse 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery. That is something to be grasped, that He didn't have to seek to attain to be equal with God. The word implies because He was. Verse 7, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Here's that profound statement. And coming in the likeness of men, or coming in association with and for to mankind. The second thing we saw is that He saves exclusively by going to the cross. He's come down to us. Why? Because He went to the cross. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient. That means He didn't have to. It means He chose to. To the point of death, even the death of the cross. And last time, church, you saw that little word even spoke to us about the magnitude of the cross, that no Roman citizen could be crucified on a cross. It was reserved for foreigners and the absolute worst lawbreakers within the realm of the Roman Empire. But Roman citizens would have died some other route, one less humiliating than the cross. The cross was the worst of the worst. And the Bible tells us that God Almighty came down, put Himself in human skin, and not only chose to humble Himself, but He would even go to the most shameful, painful, disgusting death possible in that day, and that was the cross. And today we come to part 3 of our argument, verses 9 through 11. Only God can save you now. And that is, he saves absolutely by becoming your Lord. And I want to make this very clear. I want to define this for a moment about what Lord or Lordship is. Number one, understand this, that Lord is a title. So in your margins of your Bible or in your notes, make sure that you write down that Lord is Jesus' title. And by the way, listen, it's not a title that is given. It's a title that is of his nature. It is of his character. Jesus didn't become Lord. Listen, everybody. Jesus didn't become Lord. He's always been Lord. But it's your decision to make him your Lord. That's what separates you from heaven or hell. Is he your Lord? He is Lord. But have you made him Lord? Secondly, we know that his lordship demands that he possess a kingdom, a realm, an empire, a power. That's what the word means. So does he? Well, the Bible says that he inhabits eternity. The Bible tells us that the Lord is Lord over the heavens and the earth. Think about all of the stars and the celestial regions of space and interstellar space. He's Lord. What happens if we launch a rocket and go, what was that movie recently when the guy lands on Mars and all that stuff? The Martian, of course, the Martian. Listen, Jesus is Lord over Mars. Just, you know, an empire, maybe a Caesar or a king would say, this is my, we plant this ensign, this sign in the name of the realm. Oh, listen, that's nothing. Listen, God is Lord over all. No matter where, no matter how space or technology can look as far as it can, Jesus is Lord. And ultimately, that will culminate in his great second coming, where he will be Lord physically, tangibly on earth. He's coming back in the second coming. Thirdly, we need to understand and remember that his revelation of himself is that he is in fact Lord, meaning that he's the all-sovereign, that all things will someday submit to him. And by the way, it will not be force. It will be by will. They will understand he is Lord. They may not like it, but he is Lord. So, verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Four words that can change your life. To the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. Right now, listen, right now, all around the world, first time in recorded human history is this fact, that there are more people recorded dying for Jesus Christ, faith in him, than any other time. 2015 was the greatest year recorded for Christians being martyred for their faith in Jesus. Why? Because they could not, they would not denounce the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. And just because you and I live on a continent that has been protected for millennia by two great oceans, and since the founding of the United States, Mexico to the south and Canada to the north have been protected and influenced by this nation you're sitting in right now, don't think for a moment that such persecution cannot come here. Our culture is changing right beneath our feet. It may be in a day when you and I will be called upon. Maybe someone's going to ask us, like they have for 2,000 years, is Caesar Lord or is Jesus Christ Lord? What's going to be your answer? Is he your Lord? I believe our culture, if not now, certainly in the end, we will be called upon to confess that truth. Is Jesus Christ Lord in your life? And so as we look to this, great fact, that's the word, that's the statement. And that's why people today are dying. I told you guys recently, I can't remember if it was a Wednesday night or a Sunday, but it made a great impact on me. There was a family, again, bear with me if you remember this. There was a father with his wife and their three daughters. And I would say the oldest was about 13, the youngest probably about 5 or 6. And the middle, I'm going to guess and say she's about 8 or 9. That in Iraq, they were fleeing to Syria, they're running, fleeing ISIS, And they had come to the point, because the media were there, they're all tracking the movements of these people escaping ISIS, and they had come to a point where they were completely exhausted, they couldn't go any further, and the reporter captured the comment of the dad. As the kids were there, they're now parched, they're hungry, it's done, we're done, we're not running anymore, we're done. They had crosses around their necks. And the man said, what are you doing? The reporter said, what are you doing? He said, we're done. We can't run anymore. My daughters can't go anymore. We're done. We'll die. We will not denounce Jesus Christ as Lord. We'll die here when they come. When they ask us, we will say Jesus Christ is Lord. And the reporter was asking him and talking to him. And the man said, even if I were to be weak in that moment, when they put the sword to my throat, I would have to say to them, if I were to tell you that Jesus is not my Lord, I would be lying to you. And I can only assume that after the reporters packed up and went on their way, that family of five died there for their faith in Jesus. Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord to the level, to the point? Like that? Think about it. They don't have libraries. They didn't have books. They didn't have their smartphones. They didn't have church to go to on Sunday morning anymore. Everything had been yanked from them. And they said, that's it. We relinquish our life and our rights to Christ. Here we die because he's Lord. That proclamation, I believe, is going on all around the world. And if it hasn't come to you yet, it will come to you. It may come to you on the campus. It might come to you at the job. It may come to you in your own family. These are different days, ladies and gentlemen. God is speaking. God is speaking. I remember years ago sitting under the teaching of Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. 7 earned doctorates, ladies and gentlemen, 7 doctorates from Einingen, Switzerland. I remember hearing him say this, and I got to tell you, I stepped back and was shocked to hear it until he unpacked it. He said, God has given us his word, his message, and God is speaking. Amen to that, right? But he said, God has given us 2 Bibles. And I didn't know how to handle that. 2 Bibles. And he said, one, of course, is the word of God, the inerrant word of God, his word to us, God's Bible. But to those who are in the world who do not know God, they don't know his Bible, they may be running around in regions of the world where they have no scriptures, God has given them the second Bible, he said. He said, the second Bible is God's creation. The Bible says that God, through his creation, reveals his own Godhead, his own existence, to all things that he has created. That's an interesting statement. That's a profound observation. God is speaking. And I wonder if you saw the news this week, world-renowned news. 100 years ago, Albert Einstein said that he believed that in creation, that when it happened, that would have caused waves in the observable universe, that somewhere there would be waves that you could monitor, you could record. In essence, you could hear creation. And for 100 years, people didn't, you know, you don't go around mocking Einstein, but they didn't think it was true until this week. I want you to pay close attention to this clip I'm going to play you. Listen for the words that the scientists are using and think about God being the creator. And then I'll read you a few verses. Are you ready? Watch this.
The discovery of gravitational wave is, I think, the most important breakthrough in modern science.
What LIGO has done, it's the first time the universe has spoken to us through gravitational waves. And this is remarkable. Up till now, we've been deaf to gravitational waves, but today we're able to hear them.
So gravitational waves are the most elusive prediction of Einstein. For 100 years, we were seeking and we did not find them.
Explain to me how gravitational waves work and how we're able to detect them through the Advanced LIGO.
Advanced LIGO is essentially a microphone. Yeah? The first cosmic astromicrophone. We are listening to the universe, not seeing the universe. So what LIGO will do, LIGO will measure the space-time distortions. So this space-time vibration propagates and changes the shape of everything on its path.
Like even planets?
Even planets.
Does this change our understanding of our world and our universe?
Absolutely. It changes everything.
And why is it so significant, this discovery?
big parts of the universe is hidden from us. With gravitational waves, we see gravitational waves coming from everywhere, and it will reach us. It will reach us even through the densest medium. And that's really beautiful, because this is like the X-ray of modern science. The skies will never be the same. We will be able to study not only Einstein's general relativity, we will be able to find objects we only imagined that they should exist. We should see a universe that has never been observed before.
I wonder if it's going to be like this. Hey, it's me. It's the Lord. We're going to see things we've never seen before. You better believe it. That's an awesome thing to consider. What is that? Listen, Christian, never be afraid of the continuing development of science as we get smarter. Listen, the smarter we get, the more clean science becomes. And listen, God's claims in the Bible become a greater, more clear reality for us who are learning. We will never be undermined as believers in science. If science comes along and says, we don't need God anymore, we've explained God away, which is the new statement of the modern atheist. False. Science never explains away anything. Science can only tell you how things work. They don't tell you why. The Bible tells you why. And God, the author of science, tells you how those things work for his purpose. Get ready to write these down if you will. You see, what does this have to do with your Bible study? Jesus is Lord of the universe. Sounds like an action figure, right? Lord of the universe. Yes, he is. Psalm 19, verse 1. Keep the video in mind. Psalm 19, 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, that's the stars, shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language. Remember that scientist said the heavens are talking to us? Where their voice is not heard. Their line, circle the word line in your Bible. There in Psalm 19, verse 4, the word line here is a musical chord or a string that is plucked on an instrument. Waves. Has gone out through all the earth, and their words, message, information, answer, to the end of the world. This is written 3,000 years ago, and Einstein would have said, I told you. Isaiah 45, 18. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain. That means it speaks of information. Isn't that brilliant? Who formed it to be inhabited? I am the Lord and there is no other. Verse 19, I have not spoken in secret. I love that. Finally this, Hebrews 1 verse 1, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Listen, it's talking about Jesus. Through whom also he made the worlds. He saves, our God saves, our Lord saves, absolutely, by becoming your Lord. And mark it down, verse 9, it's this, absolutely visible to the naked eye. When we talk about observation, if something is really, really clear to us, we would say it's going to be visible to the naked eye. And I want to challenge this statement right now, visible to the naked eye. Listen, how naked is your vision of things that are happening around you and things that you know? By naked, I mean pure. According to God, God says he reveals himself to us, all of us, to the person in this room with the greatest faith, to the person in this room that claims to have no faith in God. The truth of the matter is God is revealing himself to you. In that sense, there's no place to hide. The staunch atheist today struggles with the existence of God. The believer in God simply enjoys him. The evidence, I believe, is overwhelming. Somebody might say, well, you can't show me evidence that proves God's existence. Yes, I can. Number one, I will lean on the Bible where it claims there of itself 27% of the Bible is God speaking about the future in advance before it happens. Bible prophecy. God tells you in advance what's going to happen. It happens. And Jesus said these things were written down in advance that when they happen, you will know that I am God. God tells the future. That's a fact. What about design? What about engineering? There's nothing that you and I enjoy in this world from the orange or avocado trees outside to the chair you're sitting on, to the clothes you're wearing, to the very body that makes you you, that has not been designed, that does not speak of a designer. You are more complex than anything that this universe can display to the naked eye. You, just your eyeball alone, is a miracle. And you know, you and I grew up where we were told that when we were whatever we were, what does somebody say? We were goo that went to the zoo and then became you. So we rubbed our eyes. Remember when we were a thing, whatever that thing was, we rubbed our face. And we were told we rubbed our faces, our face with two little flippers or whatever. And the continuous rubbing formed two eyes. So no, come on, let's just give them that. So we got two eyes going. And then we rubbed until we had two ears going. And we did everything else, and we got everything else going to this too. And so we evolved, and here we are. You got all this rubbing going on. And then here's this thing. It's us, and we're doing great. And we just happened to wake up to the realization that right alongside of us, at the exact same sequence, was the female version of what I am. It just so happens that she was rubbing her eyes, her face at the same time, and she rubbed the side of her head, and she got ears too. And at the exact same time, we turned and looked at each other and said, oh man, you're awesome. Let's get together and make a lot of little mores of what we are. Listen, if you believe in evolution, how in the world did you get two things of the opposite sex not only maturing exactly the same at the same time, but they both looked at each other and said, I think you're hot. At the same time. Male, and God says, I created them. Boom, bang, male, female. There you go, God says, I did it. Male, female, wham. Is there evidence for that? Overwhelming evidence. Think about it. One is a huge leap of faith into an abyss, and the other one is a clear, naked eye observation of the created works of God. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the creator. He is Lord. And if he's my Lord and your Lord, then he can handle the rest of our lives. He can take care of it. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. Therefore, he says in verse 9, therefore, God has highly exalted him. The context is all about Jesus. He was crucified. He came. He was born of a virgin. He left heaven. For us, God has highly exalted him. The word highly exalted here, compound word in English, is one word in the Greek language, and it means to elevate in the presence of others. Jesus Christ was elevated in the presence of mankind, in the presence of angels. Listen, be very careful. He wasn't elevated to become greater. He was great and came down to earth and humbled himself to the point of death.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you make the choice to follow Jesus Christ by accepting his love and forgiveness in your life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, by the way, are you done with worry? Tired of spending too much time and energy on things that don't really matter? You know, the book of Revelation tells us that for the true follower of Christ, we have the assurance of heaven. So, when you think about it, what really matters? You know, a quiet personal time set aside for the Lord can really help us to put things into perspective. Devotions, if you will. That's why we have a devotional plan on our website. Simply head over to jackhibbs.com, click on that Devotions tab. Once you're there, you'll find weekly devotions personally written by Pastor Jack. And you know what? It's a great start for beginning your own conversation with the Lord. Again, the resource is called Devotions at our website. You'll find it right there at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.